Today on the Miracle Zone, we're discussing the beautiful, powerful, and majestic beings called angels and why we should use these celestial beings to assist us throughout our life, even our day. I'll begin our podcast with our usual spiritual grounding and protection exercises. Following, I'll discuss where the belief and existence of the angels are documented, to include art history, collective scripture, the Torah, and Kabbalah. From here, I'll share what the jobs or responsibilities of the angels are, sharing with you their hierarchy. We'll end with a prayer and sealing, as well as an angel card reading using Doreen Virtue's Angel Oracle card deck. You'll want to hang in here for the full 60 minutes. So now, sit back, relax, and enter the Miracle Zone. Transition. At the end, heading into the next stage, it feels like you can't make it. It feels like all hell is breaking out against you. It feels that way because you're almost there. The birth canal is the narrowest just before delivery. It's the darkest and the coldest just before dawn. Hello, I'm Pamela Chapman. Welcome to Miracle Zone, making it reality against circumstance, logic, and economics. Appropriate for today when it often seems like a changing, chaotic, and very crazy world keeps us in difficult transition. Today is Tuesday, February 6, 2018, and we're coming to you live from my place of miracle, the Winter Rockies in beautiful and chilly Colorado. We are shifting once again. Thank you for allowing me to have some time out of your incredibly busy schedule to help guide you into your very own dream come true. I'll facilitate your journey into whatever you care to manifest for this time. So, whether you are transitioning through a job loss, career change, mate change, empty nest syndrome, retirement, life transition, loss of a loved one, or plain old limbo, we are here to help make the transition as painless and easy as possible. So, the Miracle Zone is a spiritual show. So let's start with our grounding and our protection exercises. I'm going to do an abbreviated grounding because I have a lot of information I want to bring to you today. I have so many notes. I'm very positive I won't be able to share it all. So, let's jump into the grounding. Okay, if you are in a safe place, meaning you can close your eyes, you are free to imagine, you are not driving a car, you're not operating heavy equipment, join me in closing your eyes. And I'm just going to take a seat here. I'm usually standing for my show, but I'm going to sit for the moment anyway. So, close your eyes. Get in a little relaxed position. Feet flat if possible. If not, if you're sitting in the lotus position, that's fine. We just are making sure that the spine is straight. We're seeing our chakras cleared and expanding. Standing or seated comfortably, we want to imagine that we either have two roots coming from the bottom of our feet or one root coming from the root chakra, which is basically your tailbone. And we're going to imagine that root or roots pushing through the floor that we are either standing on or sitting on in a chair, or maybe we're sitting on the floor, which is okay as well. And I want to begin to imagine that root just pressing all the way down through the floor. Now it's breaking through the concrete ground, going down and down and down. There's nothing to be afraid of here. We're going south, but it is still positive energy. And we're going to continue to press down. We're going to press through the magma, and we're going to press through the lava. You're going to feel the lava, feel the heat, feel all of that energy. It's still good energy. It's the earth. And we're going to continue to press down until we seek out or till we see the core of the earth, right? Imagine it like the South Pole. And we're pressing down and we're going down into that earth until we begin to sense that there is something solid in the earth that we can latch onto. And now we're going to imagine that those roots or root is wrapping around that core, that magnet. Okay, nice and firm, nice and steady, latching on. And now I want you to imagine with me that being in that fixed position, that solid position, right, solid ground, now I want you to imagine that that root that you've wrapped around that core, it continues to stay wrapped around the core, but now you're going to see it extend itself back up to you. And in doing that, that root now is nothing but pure light. Bright white light or golden light is coming up from the core of that earth, and it is coming north, and it is finding its way to you. Up, 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 through the lava, the magma, and now we see that light coming through the earth, the concrete, and now it's coming through the very floors that we are sitting on, standing on, and it is beginning to enter our body. Zero chakra, first chakra, second chakra, sacral chakra, up to the solar plexus, continuing up, that light continuing up in our bodies, and now it's entering our heart chakra, and we're going to allow it to just kind of linger there for a few seconds, filling our heart with love, agape love. Our bodies now filled with energy. We continue up to the throat chakra. Let's let that light hang out in the throat. And now we want to continue up to the sixth chakra, the pituitary gland, the pineal gland, third eye, right between the eyebrows. We're going to let that light, that energy linger there. And now we imagine the light in the crown, in the mind, where we co-create with God, allowing it to linger there just a few seconds. And now I would like for you to take a deep breath in and now we're going to exhale. Let's take another deep breath in, filling your lungs. Come on, let's go. Exhaling anything out that doesn't belong. Let's take in one more deep breath of God's love, God's light, God's healing energy. Inhale. And exhale. Very nice. Now I'd like for you to imagine with me that there is a coat of armor and it is standing in front of you. Whether you're standing or seated, that coat of armor is before you. And I want you to see that armor as any type of impenetrable material, right? Nothing can penetrate it. It can be any color you desire, but nothing can get through it. Okay, this is your armor. And we're going to put on our protective armor. So we are literally protected from any negative energy, right? It's so important to do this. And we have to be diligent in doing these exercises, okay? I do my exercises every day, but with the kind of work that I do, I still pick up negative energy, and I have to be diligent in clearing that. So put on your armor. Put on your armor before you leave your home. So let's quickly see that armor. Now we're going to step into it with the right foot and the left foot. That armor quickly comes up over our ankles, over our knees, up the thighs. Now it's around our waist, our hips. It keeps coming up over the stomach, over the chest area, all the way up to our shoulders, the top of our shoulders. And now from the shoulders, it's going to continue down to our elbows, our wrists, and our hands. We are fully protected except for our neck and our heads. And now I would like for you to imagine with me that your helmet is before you. I see mine on a mahogany, beautiful shelf, polished, and my helmet sits there waiting for me to place it over my head. I call mine the helmet of salvation. And I reach out with both hands, in my imagination or using both hands, and I gingerly take my helmet. I carefully place it upon my head, and that helmet comes all the way down, covering my throat as well. I always see mine as a mesh metallic material that comes down, covers my throat, and the only thing exposed now are my eyes, my nose, and my mouth. And those of you who listen, you know our eyes are what? Our eyes are so that we can see the truth, so that we can be clairvoyant, right? So we can see the path that we are being led upon. Our noses, I always say, is to sniff out the truth and to smell the beautiful fragrances that our Father, Holy Spirit, Mother Nature has given to us. Especially if you're in the warm climates where the flowers are still blooming, sniff out those beautiful natural fragrances. And the mouth is to speak the truth when spoken to, when accepted, okay? We do not force what is our personal truth on anyone else. That is my belief. Okay, so let's get going. Angel cards today. Yes, yes, yes. I was going to give you these at the end, but I am going to give them to you in the beginning. They are not yet on the website. I'm going to have to go back and do that for you. But five of them literally dropped out of my Angel Oracle card deck. I used Doreen Virtue's card deck. And these are the five cards that came. Career transition. Angel Shamuel comes today. Your life purpose is triggering a blessed career change. Woohoo! Right? Isn't that exciting? That was the first card that literally dropped. Remember, there is an additional message, and that additional message will be on the website. YucatanWellness.com. Yucatan, YUCATAN.com. And the password today is ANGEL in all caps. Career Transition is our first from Archangel Shemuel. Our second card, Gentleness, and it's Archangel Sandolphin. Be very gentle with yourself at this time. Surround yourself with gentle people, situations, and environments. That one I personally can receive. Third card that came from the deck, Clairaudience, Archangel Zachiel. Notice the loving guidance you hear inside your mind or from other people, okay? Now, if we go back to that first card, that is very important that you hear the messages that are coming to you, either inside your mind or messages from other people. And then the fourth card, Breathe. And Archangel Raphael, our healing angel, is saying take several deep breaths and exhale slowly to awaken your energy and to release old patterns. And then the fifth card is Victory. And this is Archangel Sandolphin. Your prayers have been heard and answered. Have faith. Now listen to that message that is coming to us today, huh? As we go through that transition, we are to treat ourselves kindly because many times we're transitioning out the old, so sometimes it feels like pain, it feels like stress, and then they're telling us to hear the messages, the loving messages that are coming, and to remember to take deep breaths, okay, so that we can stay calm in what might appear to be a stressful situation, okay, and to slowly awaken that new energy, releasing all that old stuff going out, and then there is victory. This is amazing. These are beautiful messages, and I personally receive these messages for what is happening in my life right now in the Master Year, right? Master Year 2018. So every one of these podcasts that are coming in 2018 are specifically for healing and specifically to take us to that promised place, that destiny that we are looking toward. You've done your map for your life, I hope. I hope you've done it. I hope you're doing what I've asked you to do. There are some new pieces that I would like you to quickly add, and then we're going to jump into the message. But I believe the last message I asked you to add on to your plan for your life is, I am the kingdom of God, manifest where I am. And if you need more info about that, go back and listen to not last week's show, but the week before. Last week we had an amazing meditation coach come on, David Sandicott. I suggest you listen to that as well. If you've missed anything since the beginning of the year, you need to go back and listen because each podcast is building upon the other. Okay? Now what I'd like for you to do with your map, not now, but later on, after this, because I want to get to our angels, I want you to actually list out three goals that you want to reach. Be specific and write them down on your map. Three goals that you want to reach by 2018, okay? And remember, you want those goals to be specific, right? You want those, they're going to be SMART goals. So they're going to be specific, they're going to be measurable, they're going to be attainable, they're going to be reachable or some risk involved, and then there's going to be a time measurement on it. So you don't want to write that goal down and say, I want to eventually know time specific, okay? And you can even break that down into weeks, months, quarters. Okay, so here we go. Angels. And why we should use these celestial beings to help us. So where do we begin? When we begin to talk about these amazing beings, I just gave you five angel cards that came to us today, amazing messages that I really believe in and trust and follow. It's amazing. I pulled a card last week before going out to the lunar eclipse to see the lunar eclipse. If you're on my follow on Facebook, you saw some pictures. It was very interesting, the message, and very interesting, the events that followed, and I'm just going to leave it at that. But I've always had a fascination with angels, and I've always been what you call clear cognizant. And it's led to many trials and challenges. I drank a lot because I didn't know things, and I could understand things that others didn't, especially in my youth. And so now I have given in to that, and I've surrendered to that and say yes to that. So when we begin to talk about them, this is a surface talk. I need 12, 13, 14 hours, 14 weeks, right, depending on how deep we'd want to delve into this. But I'm talking about why we should use them. No, not really why could we use them, you know, why you should. And they have appeared in the works of art since early Christian art, right? Since early Christian art, they have been a popular subject for the Byzantine and European paintings and sculpture. You go back to Europe, angels are on buildings, you see sculptures, you see paintings, right? All about angels. The word angels is derived from the Greek word angelos. The city of Los Angeles is the city of the angels, believe it or not. Okay? Angels are found in three main religions. Judaism, okay? You can find about angels or find writings about angels, I should say, in the Torah, which would be the equivalent of the canonical Bible, the collected scriptures, the Kabbalah, which is a mystical Jewish teaching, and the Talmud, which is a collection of earlier rabbinical teachings, okay? They're found in the Islamic religion, in the Quran, and in Christianity, in the Bible. Now, I'm going to focus more on the Bible. Why? Because, again, that's what I know more about. That's what I'm more comfortable with. Not saying that the others that I mentioned aren't important. Okay, so the word angels means messengers. Okay, so they are known to be the messengers of God or the messengers of light. And what is light? Light is energy. We know everything is energy now from quantum physics, right? Okay, usually of a bright light, happy light, sometimes not. Okay, that's how cold it is. My fourth ear heating is kicking on. All righty, so in Hebrew, angels or malach is also the word for messenger. And the Persian name for angels, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this correctly, but I believe it is, I'm going to say it's angaros. I may have my pronunciation off there, but it also means messenger, right? Like a messenger service. Most of the time, angels bring messages of good news, most of the time. I'm going to show you some examples where they didn't bring messages of good news. It is believed that Mary was visited by Gabriel. Those of us who study angels, we believe that Gabriel, Archangel Gabriel, went to her to tell her she was pregnant with Jesus. And we also know an angel appeared to Joseph, right, letting him know it was good to marry Mary, even telling Joseph the child's name would be Jesus, that they should name the child Jesus. The angel here gives what? Specific guidance, instruction, and reassurance, right? He tells Joseph to accept Mary as his wife. It's cool, you know, because here she was pregnant, and, you know, how was that going to look? You know, he didn't get her pregnant, right? And then he was telling him what the child's name was to be. So we see guidance, instruction, and actually reassurance. So that's three things right there. We're talking again about why we should use these celestial beings to help us. Why? Then we know in Genesis 18 there's the subject or the characters of Sarai and Abram, right, in this story. And I'll quickly kind of, I'll read a little bit to you. It says, then the Lord appeared to him, and we're talking about Abram, by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he, Abram, lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Now, this whole story, Genesis chapter 18, is interesting to read because just in that little paragraph, what we have is three men show up. Abram immediately know that these are just not three normal guys, right? If these three guys, you know, came up to your home and rang the doorbell, you may look at them and say, you know, who are you? What do you want? What are you selling? But, you know, we're also reminded of that scripture that says, be careful how we entertain strangers. In fact, I used it in my description for the show. But he knows that there's something special about them. And so I have to believe it's their aura, it's their energy, it's a light that's coming from these beings. And he calls them Lord. So did God actually take on human form as an angel and bring Abram news, and basically the news that he's going to bring them, he's going to let them know that Sarai, she's still Sarai here, is going to become pregnant. And they're way beyond childbearing age. In fact, Sarai laughs at the whole idea, right? Like, really? I don't think so. And that whole story is very complicated, and we're not going to go there today. But I just want you to notice that these three men appear. Abraham knows that these men are special. He bows down before them, and he calls them Lord. So does God himself take on human form? Does he come as an angel? All right? Again, being careful how we entertain strangers. Now, let's switch that. Those are two examples of positive messages, right? Gabriel, Archangel Gabriel, going to Mary and to Joseph. That's who we believe it was, those of us who study the angels. And then the angels, three, who appeared before Abram, okay, while he's sitting on this tree. So here's a different type of visitation in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, okay? And if you don't know the story, I'll just give you a synopsis. In chapter 19, I would suggest if you have time, it's a very, very good story to read. And Sodom and Gomorrah was a pretty wicked place, okay? And all kinds of things were happening, and there was challenges in their government and their policies and ethical and moral challenges. And, you know, it kind of sounds like the world today, to be honest. Okay, and two angels arrive at Sodom in the evening, okay, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city, all right, kind of sitting at the doorway there, hanging out. And when he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. So, again, he knew there was something special about these two folks who showed up. Obviously, they are in human form, right? He can see them, but he knows that he must bow down to them, or he feels obligated, obliged to bow down to them. And he says to them, "My lords," okay, "my lords, please turn aside to your servant's house." So in other words, come on over into my house, okay? I'm inviting you in. And they basically were like, "No, we're just going to stay in the square tonight." And Lot insists, "No, no, this is not the best neighborhood. You need to come into my house." And so while they're in his house, these folks from the neighborhood go up to Lot's door and they begin banging on the door and say, "Hey, those men aren't from around here and we want them. We need to talk to them. We need to check them out. You need to let them go." Now, it's interesting what happens, okay? With these folks banging on the door, insisting that they let the men go, Lot's going, "No, no, no, leave them alone." The angels pull Lot back into the house, and the folk who are knocking on the door are stricken with blindness, right? Stricken with blindness. Like, enough of this nonsense. Bam. You're blind, okay? And then they turn to Lot, and he says, "Look, you need to get your wife, your kids, you need to get your family the heck out of here because something's getting ready to go down. And we want you out of here because you're a good man. You have invited us into your home, you insisted, and we want you to be saved," okay? So that's exactly what Lot does. There's some conversation in there. He says, "Don't send me to the mountains. Send me to this little town over here." Okay, but it's really an interesting story. So here we see where these angels come in, and again, they're addressed as lords. Now, in the Bible, it's not a capital L, it's a small L. But he knew they carried authority. They were authoritative, right? Okay, and so they bring warning to Lot and his family, right? And then we see where there is vengeance. But these men from the neighborhood want to come in and attack them. There's vengeance, right? And then once Lot and his wife is out of there, we know that the town, the city, is destroyed. It's destroyed. So now, did the angels do the bidding of God in that? Did they destroy it? Basically, collective scripture says that, you know, God destroyed it. But interesting enough, men appeared. Again, be careful how you entertain strangers. So we see the messages of warning. We see the intercession on Lot's behalf, right? Interceding, people at the door, Also the intercession, "Lot, get out of here. We don't want you to be harmed, okay? We're coming between you and death." They bring guidance, and then they bring destruction. So again, why should we use these celestial beings to help us? All of these examples I'm giving you is to show you how, okay? They bring fury, or they do God's fury. That they were definitely messengers of warning, intercession on Lot's behalf. Then they gave him guidance to get the hell out, and then there is destruction. Okay. when Abraham was told by the Lord to sacrifice his son Isaac, it's still, I'm sticking to the collective scriptures known as the Bible because that's what I know best. I'm sure others know these stories from their religion, either the Jewish teachings or Islamic teachings. It was an angel who interceded, stopping Abraham from sacrificing his son, okay? Instead, a ram was provided in a bush, we are told. And again, the angel's voice in this scenario, if you go back and read the story, the angel's voice turns into God's voice or God speaking, all right? So once again, that's an example of intercession as well as provision. We know angels often take on human presence, okay? We hear stories all the times of angels who come to help other people in the times of need. I've heard stories of, you know, someone being broken down on the side of the highway, and it's dark, and there's no telephones, and this car appears and helps the person broken down, and then they turn around, and they're gone. Well, that person happened to be me alongside a very dark freeway in Orange County, California. And just like that person appeared, that person was gone. Never heard them drive up, never heard them drive away. Okay? And again, we are told, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And that specifically is in the book of Hebrews 13:2. My mom had a friend, and she always told the story of this homeless man who came up, and this was in the Bronx, New York, and he said, I'm hungry. And she was of the belief that that you shouldn't give homeless people money, that you should just feed them, give them food. So here they were there in the part of the Bronx where there was a lot of shops and restaurants. And she said, well, sir, why don't you just wait here, and I'll run in and I'll get you something to eat. And he said, bless you, ma'am, I would certainly appreciate that. She said, you wait right here. And he said, yes, ma'am, I will. And she went into the store, and she bought this man, you know, a sandwich. It was like a sandwich stop, and got him a soda and got him chips. She said she got him a big old hero. And she came out, and he was gone. He was nowhere to be found. She looked up and down the street. You know, she said he really would have had to run off for her not to see him. The Bronx streets were, you know, filled with people, but and it did take a little time to get his order, you know, not terribly long. They moved fast in New York. And she came back out, and he was gone. Well, the interesting thing was, like, a week later, I think she said a week later or days later, she was blessed with a huge sum of money that came from nowhere, okay? Being careful who we entertain, and why we should use these powerful beings, okay, who have been given to us to use for assistance. I'm going to tell you another story, and these are all personal stories, right, people I know. When my mom was ill in the last few years, there was some going back and forth to the doctors, to the hospitals. And when I lived in California, it was actually easier to get to mom because I could run to the airport there in Orange County, jump on the plane, be in Denver, and be to her, you know. Living in Colorado, however, up in the mountains, 2.5 hours, which doesn't seem like a long time unless it's snowing, okay? In the winter, the weather changes rapidly. So this particular day, mom was in the hospital with a friend, and I couldn't get to her. So I said to her, Mom, I can't get there, but I'm sending Archangel Michael to be there with you, okay? And she said, okay, Pam, you don't have to come. I'm going to be okay. And I said, absolutely. And I went about my business, and I didn't worry about her. I knew, Archangel Michael, you're going down there. You're going to protect my mom in that hospital, and you're going to make sure she's okay. You're going to do my job, okay? So Mom calls me that evening or the next day. I can't remember. But while she's there, and she calls me, and she says, Pamela, you wouldn't believe it, Archangel Michael came. And I said, yeah, Mom, I know he was going to come. But listen to what she said. She says, no, listen. She said, the brightest, biggest man came in my room in a doctor's coat. She said he had hands that I had never seen. He was a big man. And she said he sat down next to me in the bed, and he took my hand, and he said, Miss Shields, you're going to be okay. That's what he told her. You're going to be just fine. And he sat on the side of the bed, and he really didn't do anything doctorly, you know, like check her charts or whatever. And he just said to her, you're going to be okay. And she said he turned around, smiled at her real big, turned around, and left. And so later on, a doctor comes in, and he picks up her chart. And my mom goes, you have to know her, had to know her. She was a crack up. She says, I've already been seen by a doctor. And he said, who? I'm your doctor. And she looked at her friend, happened to be there with her, friend of hers, and she's like, what? It was like, no, I'm your doctor. No other doctor came in to check on you. And that's a true story. These are true stories. You know, I personally, I even use angels to help me find parking spots. Before I know I'm going into a large mall where any place is going to be a lot of cars, I send my parking, I call them my parking angel. I go, will you please find me a parking space so when I get there I can just, you know, pull in or hold me a space before I get in. And I am not lying to you. I get there and someone is literally pulling out a parking space and I pull in. The only time I'm circling around the parking lot is when I forget to ask. And so then when I ask at that time, then I have to wait for them to free up a spot. Or not, you know, at that time, should have thought about it on my way. And I promise you, try it. Try it. If you live in a busy city, ask a parking angel. Say, go before me and help me find parking. Now, I want to say this to you, too, before time gets away from me. I never pray to angels. I tell you before I come on the show, I always ask them to come and to assist. I always invoke, in a sense, my archangels, Michael. I have a team that I work with, Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel. Those are the four staples that I deal with, I work with, my team. And then I have Metatron, Archangel Metatron, and then there's Archangel Sandolphin, okay? And Metatron, we believe, was the prophet Enoch. Okay, and so that's my archangel team, and then I draw angel cards, or I have a team of angels that are a little bit lower than the archangels. They are lower than the archangels, just below them, and I work specifically with Fiona, Zanna, Akasha, Astra, Mystique, okay, but I never, ever pray to them. I pray to God in my world, God. I pray to Jesus, Holy Spirit. I believe Holy Spirit is with me, guiding me, protecting me, comforting me, okay, in me, all right? I when I pray to those beings, when I'm praying to God, I am seeing them within me, the God within and the God without, Holy Spirit within me, okay? So that's just my belief, that the angels are here to assist. They don't take the place. In this instance, that examples I've just shown you, we've seen where those angels were first thought to be angels, but then they were addressed as Lord, okay, which is very interesting in itself. So we know that they have appeared to others in the collective scripture, and they have appeared as frightening beings. You know, there's many places in scripture that tell us that they laid prostrate, you know, or that they couldn't move when the angels appeared. If you, Mary, for instance, Gabriel said to Mary, "Do not fear." If you've ever experienced the presence of an angel, good energy or bad energy, you know, when they're in your presence, it's very difficult to move, okay? So I want to give you another example of angels doing God's wrathful bidding, again, because we see that example in Sodom and Gomorrah where they were being attacked, or these people wanted to attack them, and they made them blind, okay, rendered them blind. So why would you want to use an angel? Well, you don't have to go out and seek revenge and be vengeful, okay? God's angelic beings or workers or our assistants can do that. You know, I don't know if you want to strike anybody blind, but you know what I'm trying to say, right? So in Psalm 78:48-49, it says, "He cast on them their fierceness of his anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble by sending angels of destruction among them. He made a path for his anger. He did not spare their soul from death, but gave their life over to the plague and destroyed all the firstborn in Egypt." Now, again, if you're familiar with that story, you know that it's the story of the of Pharaoh hardening his heart, being stubborn. Each time Moses would come to him and say, "Let my people go," Pharaoh would say, "What? No." So finally, you know, each time he would say no, God's angels, angels of destruction, they'll call, were called in. All right? So we see these very powerful beings as being energies of energy that usually bring good messages, intercede on our behalf, right, protect us. And they also do God's fury work, all right? Here's another example, and there's so many examples from Genesis to Revelation, there's angels. Let's see. I only have a little bit of time, but I'm just going to list off some of my favorite. I have Bible verses about angels before me. So Genesis 2:1, Colossians 1:16, Job 38:1-7, Old Testament, Luke 20:35-36, New Testament, Revelation 4:8, New Testament. And it says in Revelation 4:8, "Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.'" Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of information on that when I talk about the hierarchy. 2 Samuel 14:7, Luke 15:10, Job 4:15-18, Isaiah 14:12-14 talks about the dark angels. It says, "How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth." That's why when people start talking to me about hell being some pit, you know, fiery pit in the center of the earth, I always laugh at them because, you know, fallen angels will cast to earth. "You said in your heart, 'I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of clouds,'" and on and on and on. "I will make myself like the Most High." Okay, we're talking about fallen angels. And on, I have pages and pages that I could read to you, but I won't. Okay? I won't. This is just for any of you who have any doubt that we should be contacting and using these beings, or that they're even real. Okay, so Matthew 26:53, we have Jesus saying, "Don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us, and he would send them instantly?" Okay, so when I read this, it makes me wonder, well, I wonder if they would show up as a human army, right, on their horses, because, you know, the times that they're living in, do they gallop in, or do they show up in the form of energy? Do they show up as a storm, a hurricane, earthquake? Because, again, they're energy, just like you and I, okay? So, you know, it just makes me think. But here again, Jesus is talking about what? Intercession. He's talking about protection, right? He could call them in to intercede, wipe them out possibly, or just show up probably with fighting them to death. We don't know. Here's another example of intercession or interceding on one's behalf in the collective scriptures, and this is Daniel 10:13. And this talks about the Persian kingdom. It says, I'll read it, "But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia." Right? That is like one of the most favorites quoted in church. We talk about an angel, Archangel Michael, is specifically answered there. So before I come on the show, I always ask Archangel Michael to protect me, to protect the airwaves. And when I pray in the morning, I ask him to protect my family, protect my homes, the one here, the one abroad, to protect my everything, my friends, my neighborhood. Right? It's not just about me and mine, my neighborhood, my community, okay? My town, Colorado, my country. Archangel Michael is the protector. He comes to aid. We always see Archangel Michael as the warrior angel. Okay. And again, excuse me, on the subject of archangels, again, I've already mentioned that Gabriel came to bring good news to Mary and Joseph, right? Gabriel. Okay. And I just want to mention it could have been Raphael, Archangel Raphael, to help Lot and family for their travels when they were being sent out of Sodom, when they were being sent out of there. It could have been Archangel Raphael. And how do I come up with that? Those who study angels or angelology or angelologists believe that Raphael is the patron of angels. And I won't just say those who study. I believe Raphael is a saint, if I recall correctly. In some religions, I believe in Catholicism, it's Saint Raphael. Okay, so then here's some other proof of guardian angels in Psalm 91:11. "For he, God, will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." So there we have protection. We have guardian angels, all right? We all believe that little children have guardian angels, but big kids do too. You have a guardian angel. Now that my mama is gone, I know for sure I have a guardian angel. I used to try to guess who was my guardian angel before, but I know who one is for sure now. Okay, so now that just brings me into the hierarchy of angels, which I told you I would share. So now Paul, those of you good Christians who know your scriptures, Paul is attributed with creating the hierarchy of angels, okay? The book of Acts, there is instance after instance of angelic encounters, okay? And Paul is mentioned in those angelic encounters, okay? And you have to take in the whole history. You got Greek mythology in there. We got the Roman Empire. We got all these different beliefs that are going on. We have the Corinthian church, the Ephesian church. It's a chaotic time as well. But these angels are never, ever forgotten. They are throughout. So they come and assist. I think I wrote on my Twitter page, I believe that the angels can even assist us in making us one nation. I believe that. Without an incident, without a war, right, without a tragedy. I believe that. And you can believe that with me, not just in America, whatever country. There's those of you who listen in other countries. You'll bring unity and peace via angels. We can ask for their assistance. So anyway, I'm going to give you the order. And in some two places in the New Testament where the hierarchy of angels come from, in Ephesians 6:12 and in Colossians 1:16. So I'll quickly read this to you. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Again, remember the times. So often this scripture is taken for spiritual warfare. Well, you have principalities in your state, right? Yeah, we have governing powers. And many times we wrestle against them. If you're dealing in politics, yeah, they can be controlled by dark forces for sure. And then in Colossians 1:16, it says, through his power all things were made, things in heaven and on earth, seen and not seen, all spiritual rulers, lords, powers, and authorities. Everything was made through him and for him. And remember that. Everything was made through him and for him. So we don't get all wigged out when we start talking about darker energies and lower forces. We just give them no place. Okay, so here we go. The seraphim, they are, and this is from the highest order to the lowest. The seraphim, they are the closest to God. Each angel has 6 wings. They use 2 wings to cover their faces, 2 wings to cover their bodies, and 2 wings to fly. They have eyes like coals. Okay? And if I may, just take a sip of water. Seraphim. The cherubim, or cherubim, God forced man to leave the garden. Then he put cherub angels and a sword of fire at the entrance to the garden to protect it. The sword flashed around and around, guarding the way to the tree of life, right? You can read that in Genesis. In Ezekiel 1:10, it gives us a description of the cherubim. It says, each living being had 4 faces. In the front, they each had a man's face. There was a lion's face on the right side and a bull's face on the left side. There was an eagle's face on the back. When their wings move, they sound like the voice of God. They have 4 eyes and hands beneath the wings. So you know all those little cute little angel pictures that we have? They're not seraphim and cherubim. Because I believe if we saw these guys the way they are, it would be a little bit frightening. Just a little bit. Maybe this is the reason why when we read the different stories that we, in the Bible, in the collective scripture, and in the other teachings, that is the reason why people fall prostrate before the Lord or fall prostrate on their faces and they can't face them. Okay? It's an amazing force of energy. I had another experience that I don't have time to talk about. But I remember when that occurred, this angel, and I believe it was Archangel Michael, he was so big, his knees went to the ceiling. But I knew it was Archangel Michael, well, the way he was dressed, the what would you call it? It was not necessarily a boot, but like the sandal that he wore, and it came up, like strapped up to his knee. I knew it was Archangel Michael, but all I could do was cry in his presence. It was a very troubling time. I was going through a divorce, and he was there to let me know I was being protected and guarded. Okay, so then that takes me to the thrones, okay, the thrones. And you can find the thrones in Daniel 7, 9, and honestly, it's really unclear what position the thrones serve. Now, this is an actual archy that has been set up, and, I can go into the history, but I don't have time. But again, I'll just say those of us who study thrones, is a class of angels, and it's not clear whether they function as an entity or being or if they are just an energy, because again in Daniel 7:9 it says the thrones were cast down. Okay, so that's pertaining to an evil power, and then the Ancient of Days was seated on the throne, which is talking about God being seated on the throne. Good energy. Then there's the dominations. And the dominations are about in the middle of the hierarchy. Again, the dominations are controversial. Saint Hildegard, a Benedictine nun, had a vision of what she believes were dominations, and she said they had faces and feet like people. They appeared as people, and they wore tunics. Okay? So the next, in going down our hierarchy, is powers, okay? And let me back up for just a second. In Greek, virtue means powerful and unshakable, quality and mighty. So we want to see that as a good thing, of course. And then we have powers. And then powers, more of a function than an actual entity, okay? It's right up there with the thrones. And Ephesians 1:19-21, it talks about the powers that raised Jesus from the dead. So it couldn't be an evil power, right? So when we talk about the powers, we can see it as a God energy, a light force, or you can see it as a dark force, okay? Principalities, again, we come upon a controversial area here. When I say controversial, this is amongst theologians and the rabbinical teachers, okay? Not just me saying, oh, this is controversial, or my teacher. No, this is those who make the religious rules. And they say, many believe that the principalities, we're talking about the dark forces and lower energies, talking about the fallen angels that were cast down to earth with their leader, Satan, okay? But there are others who believe they are godlike princes who have helped to rule, okay? I think somewhere back here in my notes, we talked about the prince coming to help, prince-like being coming to help. I can't remember exactly where. I have so many notes and so much in my head right now. Okay, as we continue, archangels, they are the managers of the angels, okay? And specifically in the Bible, again, talks about Archangel Michael and Archangel Gabriel. Archangel Raphael is not mentioned in our canonical Bible, okay, our accepted Bible, but it is found. Archangel Raphael is found in the book of Tobit, T-O-B-I-T, if you want to do some research. Archangel Uriel is found in the book of Enoch. Again, not in our collective scriptures. Okay? So then that brings us right down to the angels, and that includes guardian angels, right? And we've already said he will give his angels charge over thee, lest you dash your foot against a stone, which is found in the book of Psalms. Very quickly, I'm going to share with you the angels' purposes and how you can use them quickly. Ariel, the name of the meaning, Archangel Ariel, these are all archangels, is the lioness of God, okay? And Ariel heals and helps wild animals and the environment. Archangel Azrael means whom God helps, and Azrael helps to heal grief. Shamuel, he who sees God, heals anxiety and brings peace. Archangel Gabriel, messenger of God, heals during pregnancy and childbirth and heals anxiety regarding creative projects. Haniel, glory of God, heals female cycles. Jeremiah, mercy of God, heals emotions. Archangel Jophiel, the beauty of God, heals negativity and chaos. Metatron, the prophet Enoch, heals learning disorders and childhood issues. Archangel Michael, he who is like God, heals fear and nervousness and clears energy. Raguel, friend of God, heals personal and professional relationships. Archangel Raphael, the patron of travelers, and he who heals physical illnesses and guides healers. Raziel, secrets of God, heals spiritual and psychic blocks. Archangel Sandolphin, the prophet Elijah, heals aggressive tendencies. Archangel Uriel, God is light, heals away resentment and unforgiveness. Zachiel, righteousness of God, heals memory and mental functioning. So, when someone contacts me and asks for a healing, these are my angels that I call upon for an angelic healing, for angelic therapy. And you can do as well. Again, I don't pray to them. I pray to God, universe, mother, nature, higher power, whatever name you have given that higher power in you and inside of you. I pray to that, but I call upon my angels to assist. So I'm going to do a quick sealing for us today, and I hope you have enjoyed this. And we are going to be doing a webinar in the next few weeks, and we are going to be doing some healing with the angels, and you will be invited to join us, and you will be invited to participate in a healing along with our Oracle reader, Nancy Glenn. So in the name of Jesus Christ, I invoke a wall of brilliant white light around our bodies, our minds, and our energy fields. We accept that this energy seals us from the energies of this world. We now invoke the violet flame to burn inside the wall of light and to consume all imperfect energies in our own being. Join us on Facebook, Yucatan Wellness. The page is actually Yucatan Angel Wellness. Follow us on blogtalkradio.com/miraclezones. Miracle Zone, excuse me. You will get notified when we are about to begin a show, when we create a show. Okay? Join us for our webinar that's coming up. I'll give you more information as we get closer to that. Love you all. See you next week. Bye-bye.